Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
All right, you guys look settled in already. No snoring now. I do have a spray bottle at home. I will send my wife home to go get it and wake y'all up if needed. Oh my goodness, this is so exciting. I have longed for a couple years now to be able to come and just spend a Sunday with you guys, not even having to be up here. It's a great honor to be here in this capacity, but to worship with you and to serve the Lord with you. And I honor you, Pastor Madison, and I know you and Pastor Spencer are dear friends of Lauren and mine. In fact, you guys, it's kind of debatable, probably. Pastor Greg and Pastor Spencer will both say that they're the ones who put us together, but I'm going to say it's you, all right? That's right, that's right. And that's why I look so young. I've been chasing this this young lady around for the last 11, 12 years now, and she keeps me young, but we honor you and the friendship, the relationship, and just the great work that you've allowed God to do here in Fort Payne through you guys. Let's honor your pastors here this morning. I told Pastor Spencer yesterday after he asked me, I said, I hope you feel good enough in the morning to come and preach, of course, he is resting this morning. He does send his greeting, and it's an honor to be able to be here. I spent a lot of time in Fort Payne over the years, not so much recent years, but like my high school days, college days. I was here quite a bit. I actually went to school up in Sylvania. Who's ever heard of Sylvania? All right, do we have any other Sylvania people in here? Yeah? All right, cool. And so I graduated class of 06 there, and Fort Payne was the place to be. You know, and so I spent many times driving around in the Walmart parking lot or sitting at Sonic and trying not to get kicked out because of the people that I was there with. And I mean, I had some good moments. I had some moments that I'm not proud of here. But I love Fort Payne. I love the city here. Maybe I'll tell one or two on myself at some point this morning. You guys like when people tell on themselves, don't you? Yeah, you do. Sometimes that helps the medicine go down a little bit. So we'll see where we get this morning. Do you guys have a picture of my family? I'd like to honor my wife and my children here. There they are. I've got four sweet daughters. My wife and I, we're blessed, very blessed to have those four little daughters, and we prayed for years for children, and so maybe that's you. Maybe you're still asking the Lord for children, and God knows just what to do, and so whatever it is that you're asking of him, just keep committing it to him, and he is good, and he's faithful, no matter what our circumstances are. But I wanted to honor you, honey, for being here this morning. I have brought a message, a teaching, an encouragement for all of us. And I think that each one of us in this room fits somewhere in this story. That's how I like to read the Bible. Whenever I read it, I like to think, okay, where would I be right now in this moment in my life? Which character would I be in this situation? And I also like to think, which character do I want to be tomorrow? Because my reality may not be where God wants me to be, but you know, maybe God wants to take me over there moving forward. I found that God allowed every written account that we have in the Bible to be scribed for a purpose. There's no insignificant scripture at all. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for good work. You see, myself, I said a prayer when I was about 11 years old for Jesus to save me. And I had went to Wednesday night service, and we were living in Cleveland, Tennessee at the time. And I just got scared that Wednesday night. I had like this heaven-hell reality kind of moment. And I went to bed that night, and I remembered the ABCs of how to become a Christian from Vacation Bible School. Anybody ever go to Vacation Bible School? Yeah. And admit you're a sinner, believe that Jesus can save you, and commit your life to him, ABC. And so I said that prayer as an 11-year-old boy. But I was so shy that at that time in my life, so shy, I remember waking up that next morning knowing that I was supposed to tell somebody about that decision I made, but I did not tell a single person. I remember my mom vacuuming the living room that morning just very distinctly and thinking, I need to tell my mom that I gave my life to Jesus last night, but I never did. And for years, my whole teenage years, I had lived knowing I said a prayer, but not knowing what to do after that. And I didn't know that the Word of God was for me. I didn't know it was for my correction or for my reproof. It was for my direction, for my instruction in righteousness. And so I got in some things that I ought not have gotten into whenever I was a teenager in my early 20s. And to God be the glory for his freedom, that I don't have to be the one that I used to be. I'm a new person now, and I'm so thankful for that. But his word is for us. His word is significant. No matter what you're reading, there's a purpose behind it. And there are three main characters or three different positions, I guess, in the Word that I want to focus on this morning. And as I read through the Scripture, as I teach through it, as I exhort and edify and encourage through it, I want you to just place yourself in it somewhere. Think, okay, where am I in this, and where do I want to be tomorrow in this? I believe that we're all at least one of them today. We may be multiple ones today. You may find yourself in all three positions in some kind of aspect, but I believe that the word this morning is for each one of us. If you agree, say amen. All right, you said it. You already agree with it, so you're going to receive it this morning. We're going to be reading in Acts chapter 20, if you have your Bible. Acts chapter 20. There's a lot of good stuff in the book of Acts. And I love that we get to read the history of the church in the book of Acts. And we're the same church. Did you know that? Yeah, we're the same church. We're the same people. There's only one church, and that's his church. We may even have here in the city of Fort Payne different locations or different fellowships, different body people's in the body of Christ meeting together. But he's coming back for one church. And so we get to be a part of that, and I like to say this, there are no big I's or little U's in the kingdom of God. We're all servants, and there's only one head of the body, that's Jesus Christ. And he's the one that we get to build our lives upon, folks. The scripture says that there's no other foundation that can be laid other than that which has already been laid, Jesus Christ, okay? Finances, the economy goes up and down. All right. Health goes up and down. Relationships go up and down. There's only one that remains constant. And that's Jesus Christ. And he's the foundation we get to build our lives upon. He is the very Word of God. I just wanted to give you guys some time to get there this morning. So Acts chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 1. You don't have to remember all this, but I'm going to read verse 1 through 6 just to give us a little bit of context as far as what's happening in the Word during this time. So Acts chapter 20, we'll start at verse 1. After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. This is not Macedonia on Sand Mountain. All right, who's ever been there before? All right, yeah, I used to play baseball over there. And verse 2, now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, remember this is Paul, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And so Peter of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. Say all that 5 times fast. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. So some things that are happening here. This is a group of disciples that are traveling with this apostle named Paul. Okay, who's ever heard of Paul in here this morning? All right, so Paul, he was a forerunner in the kingdom. He was the one that God chose to take the gospel to the Gentiles, to the Gentile nations, beyond the land of Israel, beyond the people, the Jewish people there. And he reached a lot of people. And this account was actually during, I believe, his third missionary journey, whenever he was traveling and taking the gospel to different places. And this group was traveling with him, and I was calculating a little bit. It was around 25 years from this point to whenever the church actually started in Acts chapter 2 is what we read about that. And so for 25 years, give or take a couple of years, the church has been active and moving. They've been carrying out that which Jesus gave them to carry out. And so they've been faithful with that. And Troas, it was about 1,200 miles from Jerusalem. So it all started in Jerusalem, but Jesus said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Start at Jerusalem, then go to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. All right, so that would be like start in Fort Payne and then go throughout DeKalb County and then hit the state of Alabama and then the U.S. And then you start crossing the borders. You start taking the gospel truth to different nations and places. And 1,200 miles is a long way. That would be like driving from here, Fort Payne, Alabama, to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Who'd ever want to do that? Maybe. I've got four daughters, and the oldest one is six. I would not want to do it in one stretch. I will say that. But they didn't have that. They didn't even have email back then or snail mail. They had camel mails, but they had. Imagine how long it would take to actually get a message to somewhere. But these guys were on foot. They were traveling. They were taking the gospel to these places. And this was a long way. So the church had been active. They've been doing their part, right? There's evidence of that. They're this far away from Jerusalem where it all started. They are meeting together. They're gathering together. And they're doing what the church is supposed to do. They're churchy people. Are you a churchy people? You churchy people, I love this minister. My wife and I served with Brother Curtis Silcock. Some of you may know who he is. We served with him in Hong Kong, China for 4 years as missionaries. And God has spent a lot of time with him traveling throughout China and places. And he likes to say this, I'm about as churchy as Noah was Arky. And so you look like a churchy people this morning. I think that ought to be a good thing. But they were a churchy people. They were doing the stuff. Let's pick up in verse 7 this morning. I'm going to read 7 through 12. We're going to pray, and then we're going to start diving into some of this teaching this morning. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. And I'm reading all scripture today in the New King James Version if you're taking notes. But Lord, I thank you so much for your holy word. We declare that your word is good. We declare that it is true. It's for a purpose. God, I thank you that you have given this vessel, this message to bring to your people this morning. I pray that they would find comfort in it. I pray that they would find that it's going to equip them. It's going to help them. It's going to meet us where we are this morning. I declare there's nothing special about me, Lord. I'm just a conduit for you and your glory. Lord, this morning I ask that which heaven has to give would flow through this willing vessel and that it would be received gladly by those who have chosen to come to church here this morning. It was a sacrifice for some people to get here this morning. I thank you that they made that sacrifice. Lord, we cover those that aren't among us who are sick. Lord, we lift up Pastor Spencer. We ask blessings upon him and his family and all others who are sick this morning. Lord, may you bring comfort, peace, and healing to them, and open up our ears and our hearts to receive your word this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's dig in a little bit. You guys good with that? You bring your shovels, you bring your spoons, and we're going to get into the word this morning. Verse 7, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, say came together, to break bread, who's hungry already? All right, break bread. Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Now, guys, I felt the anointing of Paul come upon me, and I've narrowed this down to 4 hours this morning, all right? And so just stick with me, no falling asleep, or I'll call you Eutychus. But they were doing what they were supposed to do. Actually, I can't say this for sure, but in my studies, I've read people say that this was the first recorded time in Scripture that the church met together on Sunday to break bread together. And they were having a worship service together. That break bread, it could have meant communion, receiving that body and blood of the Lord Jesus, but also a meal. Actually, that's when communion happened, was during a meal, when Jesus in the upper room brought his disciples together and they were breaking bread together. And all of a sudden, he took a part of that meal and he said, hey, this is my body. Hey, this is my blood. As often as you take it, do it in remembrance of me. And so communion was to be a part of a meal. It was to be a part of a time of fellowship together. And they were doing that. Like I said before, they were doing the churchy things, okay? They came together to break bread and to hear the word of God preached and ministered. They were there to do that on that first day of the week, the Lord's Day, which would have been Sunday. So they were having that fellowship. And it actually made me think of what the church looked like when it first was started. You can look back in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And so after 25 years, they're still doing the stuff. Is anybody in here 25 years strong in the Lord? Has anybody been serving God for that long? Awesome. Who'd like to be there someday? I got my hand raised. Yeah, and so it's something to continue doing. It's okay to have customs. It's okay to set things in order like, hey, we go to church every Sunday. I don't think that it's bad. I think there are some religious things that are good, right? The Bible says there's a pure and undefiled religion before God, right? And so we got to make sure we're doing the right stuff and not just doing it. But we are to maintain good works. And they were doing that as a church. I'd like to look at the word disciple because it says that Paul was meeting there with the disciples. You guys have that definition of disciple? If you haven't figured out, we're talking about raising Eutychus today. A disciple is a learner, a follower, one who receives or professes to receive instruction from another, one who adheres to the teachings of another. Which basically means it's one who believes, sticks to, and follows the teachings of somebody. And in this case, it would be the Lord Jesus, right? These disciples were the ones who were adhering to the teachings of Jesus. It wasn't just the 12 that followed him that we call the apostles. It was others as well. There were other disciples. We are disciples if we are adhering to the word of God and following Jesus Christ. And some of us may be a little earlier in our walk with him than others. Nonetheless, we're disciples. We're giving ourselves to him. And I hope to God that I'm not as close to him as I will be someday. And I thank God I'm closer than I used to be. And we get to grow in this together. Guys, if God was ready for us at the time of salvation, he would have just zapped us right up into heaven right then and there, all right? But he left us here for a reason. He wants us to develop relationship with him. He wants us to learn to trust him and to walk with him. He wants us to go through those ups and down moments so that our faith can can be proven, and that we can choose to fasten onto him. Remember, he's the strong foundation, right? We don't need a foundation if all things hunky-dory, right? But when the winds blow and the storms come and the big bad wolf comes knocking on the door, we want that sound place to be able to be, right? The Word of God is what we're to found our lives upon. And so we all get to be disciples. I love that word, adhere, one who adheres to the teachings of another. I think about glue, all right, and how glue is meant for one thing to adhere to another thing, right? And who's ever tried to glue something and failed at it? You just glued your fingers. Yeah, that's been me. I hate getting super glue on my fingers and having to bite it off and thinking, is that my skin I'm pulling off? You know, who's ever been there before? All right, yeah, some of y'all are being real this morning. Right? And there have been times I've tried to glue something together and I chose out of my own laziness not to go get a clamp out of my shed and clamp it together, and it didn't stick. It just had dry glue on both sides now and it didn't adhere, right? But we're to adhere to the teachings of Jesus, and that Word of God, that Scripture, those spiritual disciplines, that's like the clamp that helps hold us together, right? So that we don't just have the word in us, but it becomes a part of us, that we get to be one with him. And so make sure you're adhering to his teachings. Make sure you're getting in the Word of God. Don't just hear it on a Sunday morning, but read through it throughout the week and let God fill you up with his word. And some of the disciples were named here. We read that Paul was a part of this. We've already raised our hand. Paul was a part of that. He's a very well-known disciple. Luke was there. It doesn't mention Luke by name here, but Luke's the one who wrote this account, and he says that he was there, all right? So we know Luke was there, and he's also the one who wrote the gospel account of Luke's gospel. It's the same writer who wrote the book of Acts. Aristarchus was there, Secundus, Gaius. Timothy was there. Anybody ever heard of Timothy before? Tychicus, Trophimus, and a young man named Eutychus. And so we have some names. And I love that it says a young man named Eutychus. It names him by name. He may have been kind of insignificant. He may not have been one of those well-known ones, right? If you're a young person in here, you're not just a young person sitting in the back. You have a name. God has called you. He's calling you closer to himself. Don't give up. Don't be here just because your parents say you ought to go to church. You press in, all right? Yeah, we were your age one day, long ago for some of us, right? And but find God. Find God. Seek after him. And I believe that you're not just a young man, but you may be a young man, Eutychus. And I think Eutychus, it was good that he was there that day. Verse 8, there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. They were in the upper room, and I love reading about upper rooms in the Scripture. There's something special whenever disciples get together in upper rooms. God does some amazing things in the upper rooms. You probably are familiar with some of those. Jesus broke bread with his disciples in an upper room in the Bible. That's where he established that ordinance of communion, in the upper room. Jesus appeared to his disciples there after the resurrection. That's where he came, and some doubted. It says that they worshiped, but some doubted. Maybe you've come in here on a Sunday morning, worshiped God, but had doubt in your heart about him. Jesus can step into the room, and he can reveal himself to you. He can reveal the truth of who he is. Still come to church even if you doubt. Okay, I will say that. Still come to worship God. Still come and do what you know needs to be done and cling to him. Say, God, I need you. I ask that you'd reveal yourself to me. I have doubts in my heart. I don't want to have those doubts. But stick with it, okay? Adhere to him. God poured out his Holy Spirit upon the disciples in an upper room. The very ones who tucked their tails and denied Jesus whenever he was betrayed into the hands of sinners and he was mocked, he was taken into the courts and he was scourged and he was taken to the cross. Every one of his disciples fled. Every one of them forsook him. And the very ones that forsook him were endued with power from on high in an upper room because they repented, because they went where Jesus said to go. 40 days later, the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, and God placed his Holy Spirit upon them, and they began to proclaim the mighty works of God, is what the scripture says. They began to speak the gospel in other languages where others could hear. This was the first mission, if you would. God brought the world, in a sense, to the church to minister. And I encourage you, maybe there are other cultures in Fort Payne or Rainsville or wherever it is that you call home that are not like you. It doesn't even have to be a different race. It can just be a different culture. Like, I'm not like those people. Minister to them. Reach out to them. That could be the nation that God wants to start with in your life. And I promise you, God can take you beyond places that you've ever imagined you could go. Just be faithful where he's placed you here in this place. But special things happen in the upper room. And so I believe that there should be an expectation for God to do something special when the disciples are in the upper room, especially when it's full of lights, okay? Jesus said that he was the light of the world, right? Who's familiar with Jesus saying that, right? What did Jesus say after that? He said, you are the light of the world. He said, you, DJ, are the light of the world. He established he's the light, but he established that we are the light as well. At the Well Scottsboro, we've been talking a lot about Emmanuel, which is God with us. It shouldn't be just about Jesus did this and Jesus did that. It should become Emmanuel. Jesus, God wants to do it with us, that we get to take Jesus into this community. We get to go with Jesus into this community. We get to touch lives. We get to minister to people. I hope that you're coming to church to be equipped to do the work of ministry every single week. But that's what being a part of the church is about. And we get to be those lights, okay? So we have an upper room, and it said that it is full of lights. I believe that the church should be a well-lit place. Amen? Amen. And I believe that the world ought to be a well-lit up place because you're in it. Amen. The light shines the brightest in the darkest places, right? Right. And so wherever it is, it may be your workplace, it may be your home place, it may be some other place, the marketplace, and you are the brightest and the lightest thing there. You don't have to compare yourself to another Christian, another person in this room. You take the light that he's given you and you shine it to the best of your ability. Don't put a basket on top of it, but you shine like he wants you to shine. And I promise you, you're going to be effective in this dark world. Amen. My oven light has been out probably for over a year. And I have just not replaced it, simply. And then my wife started to bake sourdough a couple months ago, which I'm super thankful for. All right, who's ever had some sourdough? And she's gotten quite good at it, and it's very ornate, these patterns that she can put on this bread. And, honey, I had a big old piece this morning. I'm getting a little hungry now. And so honey needed to see her bread in the oven. And so hubby thought, okay, I've heard her say this several times now, I need to get a light bulb. And so I figured out how to take the light bulb out of the oven. And yesterday I went to the Home Depot and I got a light bulb. And I went back to the appliance section. They said, no, every light bulb we have is on aisle one. And so I went to aisle one and I found the section. This whole aisle in Home Depot, folks, was dedicated to light bulbs. And every one of them were different. They all have different packaging. They all have different functions, if you would. But ultimately, they all have the same purpose, right? To light something up, right? And so I found the only one light bulb in that whole department store that would work for my oven, and I purchased it. And I installed it within 3 minutes, and I realized I should have done this a year ago. And now honey has light. And she baked muffins last night, and I had one last night and this morning. So thank you for the sourdough muffins, honey, and you're welcome for the light. So which one of the disciples do you think Paul sent to Walmart to get that mega pack of LED lights to light up the room? Because the word says there were a lot of lights in the room. Who do you think it was? It would have probably been me, honestly. I'd probably been the one to go do that, been that gopher boy. No, they didn't have LED lights back then. They would have had something like that little lantern there, that little lamp. I got to go to Israel a few years ago and receive one of those lamps just like that. They would have placed some oil inside and a little wick, and they would have lit that, and that would have been the kind of lamp that they could have had back then. There have been a bunch of them there in the room. What I love about this picture is the lamp sitting right on the edge of the table, kind of between light and darkness, and we can see that that darkness just goes for who knows how long, right? And you may be at that place, you're kind of sitting that in-between place. It didn't work out so well for Eutychus, and so let's make sure we're sitting more in the light, right, and not the darkness. But it was a well-lit place. Verse 9, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus. Say Eutychus. Who was sinking into a deep sleep. Uh-oh. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. One thing I just thought of during worship is they had a doctor with them, Luke. They did. I bet he was really dead. I bet Luke gave his assessment, the autopsy, if you would, said, this guy's dead. All right, that's just a side note. That wasn't supposed to be funny. You are different folk in Fort Payne, I will say that. But he was dead. And this was a tragic incident, and I believe that every single person there had some responsibility to take in this. And I'm going to break that down. And as I said before, I think that there were three different roles that we can find in this scripture here, and it's not going to take too long to get there. But I'm going to go through all three of them, and this is where I want us to think, where am I at, and where do I want to be tomorrow? Which kind of person do I want to be? It's okay to take an honest assessment of yourself sometimes. I think it's important to do that, to see where you measure up, not to somebody else, but to the scripture and to the word of God. Let it direct you. So first I want to talk about Eutychus's responsibility, okay? We're going to talk about his responsibility, what he had. It says that Eutychus was sitting half in the light and half in the dark, essentially, right? Because it was a well-lit room. But he was sitting there in the window. Perhaps he was just sitting there because he was sleepy and tried to get some fresh air. Perhaps he was a little bored and he wanted to disengage from the teaching, you know, from what was happening. Perhaps he didn't want to be around all the old and the bald people and that kind of thing. You know, I don't know. It says he was a young man. Perhaps that's where all the youth sit. You know, the we sit over here, but then the young people, they all just sit back there. Maybe he had some friends there with him, too. I don't know. Maybe he was the only young person there. Maybe he was that hungry for the word. I don't know why he was sitting in the window, but he was sleepy. And I will say one thing. Can I say this in church? Pastor Madison, rebuke me, and I know you will if I'm wrong. That was stupid. That was a stupid place to sit whenever he was sleepy. In a window, multiple stories up. You don't do that kind of thing, guys, all right? That's not the place to be. But that's where he was. That was his reality. And some say it could have been the fumes in the room from all those oil lamps that were lit that caused him to be sleepy, all right? And maybe some of y'all are fiery, some of y'all more aged people. Maybe it's the young people that are fiery here or some mix. But don't let somebody else's fumes just cause you to fall asleep and to be pushed away. You let your own light shine, all right? And you become a part of it, all right? And when we link arms with each other, we don't separate ourselves. We're going to be stronger, all right? Will there be challenges? There probably will be. Will there be differences? There probably have been already, right? But don't let that push you away from the body. God never meant for us to be at home alone just to worship him by ourselves, all right? That's a dangerous place to be. Whether it be the Wellfort Pain that he's called you to, whether it be another fellowship he's called you to, you need to be a part of the body. And if this is your place and you're feeling God sending you somewhere else, make sure you're doing it the right way. Do it with a blessing. Don't just disappear on your pastors. All right, I'm going to get a soapbox. They didn't tell me to say this, but it's something I've just seen over the years. Don't just disappear, all right? But you make sure that you're staying connected with people, okay? That's an important thing. God never meant for us to do this alone. In fact, he says, not good that man be alone, all right? He said this from the very beginning, and that's whenever he gave Eve to Adam, but reality was he gave a person to a person. He gave a person to a person. We need each other, okay? We don't need to do this alone. And I wonder if Eutychus had some stronger relationships, if he was more of a part, if this would have happened or not. I don't know that it would have. But we're talking about Eutychus' responsibility, okay? Now, in my lifetime, I have done some foolish things. I've done some things that were rebellious. Some other things were just plain foolish, okay? Can I tell a quick story on myself? Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you later, okay? You're the only one that wants to hear this, all right? Years ago, I was probably a senior in high school, 2005, 2006, somewhere in there. My family loved loud cars, okay? We loved hot rods. We had all sorts of Corvettes and Transams and just stuff like that, hot rod trucks. And none of it was, like, really, really nice, but it was really, really loud. And so it was cool, right? Anybody else in here like loud vehicles? My God, I have reaped what I sowed years ago. I have four daughters, and they all nap. And I think that sometimes people like to park their vehicle that's really loud in front of my house and during nap time, because that's what I used to do. I didn't know that children would have been napping, but I have reaped what I sowed, okay? So go find the country roads if you are like I used to be, by goodness, okay? But we liked loud cars, and my dad had this 1981 Trans Am. It was gold. It had the huge bird on the hood, and I felt like the Bandit and Smokey and the Bandit. I wouldn't watch it now, but that's what I felt like, all right? Burt Reynolds there in Pisgah, Alabama. And my younger brothers would have been 10 and 12 at the time, and my parents were gone. And I thought, I read somewhere that if you pour bleach on the asphalt and you park your rear tire on top of that bleach, and then you brake lock it, which means 1 foot hard on the brake and 1 foot hard on the gas, and then you release that there brake, then the tire will spin, and that bleach will cause all sorts of really cool smoke to come from underneath that vehicle, all right? Brandon, you probably know about this, huh? Yeah, and so parents were gone. I thought, this would be fun to try. And I have a MySpace profile that needs a brand new profile picture, all right? And so I got the digital camera that we had, a cheap one at that. And I don't remember which one of my brothers held the camera, but both were involved, okay? And so got the bleach, got the car, got the camera, got the thumbs up, good to go. Get it the first try, guys, okay? And you know what? They got it. Do we have the picture? All right. There we go. Yeah, this was 0506 on a cheap camera, so I apologize for the quality. Actually, the blurred vision probably is my brother's from the rubber and the bleach fumes meeting together. That's what this would look like to them. But that was the picture, all right? Finish the picture, park the car, go home, all happy. And then Daddy and Mommy show up. There's a smell outside. And there's a big old black line right in front of our house. There's a little bit less rubber on that tire of that 1981 Trans Am than there used to be. And I will say, some things are done out of rebellion, some are done just out of ignorance, but either way, they're foolish. They're stupid. And my dad said, why didn't you wait till I got home to do this? I would have liked to have seen this. So, whether done in ignorance, whether in rebellion, sitting on the edge between light and darkness is a dangerous place to be, okay? All right, and so there are no excuses, there are no good explanations, okay? Officer, I didn't know that the speed limit was 25. Yes, I was going 72, but I didn't know that's what it was, right? Ignorance is not a good excuse, right? Yeah, and so let's not be ignorant people. That's why we need to study the scripture. That's why we need to study what God says about things and matters, right? That we're not doing things in ignorance. So I don't know if he was in ignorance or rebellion, but he was foolish for sitting in the window. He had some responsibility. He should have removed himself before falling asleep and falling out of that window. You guys with me? All right, so that was Eutychus' responsibility. Real quick, let's look at the disciples' responsibility, okay? Number two, the disciples' responsibility. The word of God, it was being ministered in an upper room, right? Yeah, we're in agreement that that's what was happening. But I have some questions that come to my mind. Why did the people, the disciples there, not see Eutychus falling asleep sitting in the window? It said that he was sinking into a deep sleep, that he was overcome by sleep. Did they not see him nodding off? Maybe you've been that one that's nodded off before in church. I know I have been. Maybe they didn't hear him snoring. Was he snoring? I don't know. You ever snored in church? How embarrassing. Now, I don't know why they didn't say anything to him. You know, did they not recognize him? Were they just so focused on what was happening over here that they failed to watch over here? It's important to keep watch, you know, to keep one eye on God and another eye on people as well. Keep an eye on your family. Don't just get so lost in your pursuit of God that you fail to minister to those that God has placed in your realm. And it's not to rob from your relationship with God, but God wants us to take our families to him, right? And you may not be able to take them in anything other than prayer, all right? But we need to be pursuing God together. We need to be watching out for those around us. It says that he was sinking into a deep sleep. You know, warning Eutychus would have been one thing, but helping him out of the window would have been another thing as well. Maybe they warned him. I don't know. The scripture doesn't say. But it's one thing to say, hey, that's dangerous, boy. You're going to fall asleep. We're going to let him learn the hard way, Pastor Lauren. All right. Yeah. Because sometimes they just need to jump out of the nest. All right. No, sometimes they need us to come and say, hey, I'm going to grab your arm right now because I don't want to see you fall. And I'm going to pull you over here. You may not like it. I get a little groggy in the mornings, all right? I wake up groggy. I love getting up early, but my goodness, I have such a hard time staying awake in the morning, all right? And it's not that I'm grouchy in the morning. I'm just groggy in the morning. Anybody else like that? So he may have been a little groggy at the time. He may have been fighting against them a little bit. I don't know, but you have to recognize, hey, that's a dangerous point right there. We're going to take him by the arm. We're going to pull him out, right? They had some responsibility too, but they let him fall. You know, telling someone what they're doing wrong is one thing, but showing them how to do something right is another thing as well. You know, it's not about pointing out when somebody's wrong. It's about showing them how to do something right, all right? Lead by example. Let them learn to imitate you as you imitate Christ, okay? Don't just tell them. Show them. Get them involved. Hey, let's serve God together. We may not all be perfect in here. God knows I'm not yet perfected, but I'm in the process right now by his grace and his grace alone. But let's live life together. Let's do this thing together. It would have been safer. The disciples had responsibility in this, and they let him fall. Eutychus was overcome by sleep, but we're not to be overcome. Say amen if you agree with that we're not to be overcome. We're to be overcomers. You know, there's a time that Jesus, his disciples, were all overcome by sleep in the garden. Jesus said, watch and pray, is what he said, but they were overcome with sleep. He said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. All right. I want to say this in here. You may be a Eutychus today. You may be one that is kind of sitting in that halfway point between light and darkness. You may be a disciple. You may be one that's living out your good works, and you're being faithful to come on a Sunday morning or to do your service to God, to serve in the church. Are you guys thankful for the ones that are serving in the nursery this morning or on the worship team or the sound booth? I know I am. And you may be doing your duty, right? And it's important to do those things. Not sure where you are in all of this, but it's important that we are connecting with one another. Somebody should have helped him out of that window and showed him how to do the right thing. He was overcome. And I encourage you, don't be overcome. Don't get too sleepy because you might fall into temptation. All right? Yeah, you start getting tempted to come just once a month to the house of God. You're a little closer to temptation, to entering into it, right? It's going to present itself to you. And don't forsake the assembling of one another. It's easier to stay adhered when you're assembled, right? You guys with me? All right. Perhaps Eutychus needed someone a bit more seasoned than he to teach him how to overcome. Perhaps he needed someone to stay awake with him. I love this song. It's called Asleep in the Light by Keith Green. And Keith Green, he was a songwriter, worship leader, just a forerunner in his days in the 1970s, early 80s. And he wrote this song called Asleep in the Light. And this one line in the song, it says, "The world is sleeping in the dark, that the church just can't fight because it's asleep in the light." So the world, they're in the dark, all right? But the church so often is asleep in the light that we're happy with just being in our room here. We're happy to come to church. We're happy to do our check mark, you know, check off things on the list of how to serve God, right? You know, we're glad because we're not like those people. We're not like we used to be. And we're doing all those right things. But spiritually, we're asleep, just like Eutychus was. It was a very well-lit place, and he was falling asleep, okay? We have to be watchful to make sure that we are staying awake. But also, the disciples were kind of asleep here as well, right? They were asleep to the fact that something was happening with this young man over here, and he was falling away, that he was not engaged, that he was falling asleep. And we have to recognize these things. Be a watchful, be a vigilant people, all right? Yeah, we have any first responders in here, any military veterans, anybody that, like, you're the one that you're just naturally geared even. If something goes down, you're already thinking of what you're going to do if that thing goes down. Yeah, I'm kind of geared that way. And so let's be that kind of people. Let's be vigilant. Let's be mindful of our surroundings, okay, of what's happening in the spiritual atmosphere even in our homes and in the church so that we can respond when needed. Verse 10 says, "But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, 'Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him.'" So lastly, we're going to look at Paul's responsibility here, okay? So Eutychus had some responsibility. The disciples had some responsibility, but then Paul had some responsibility as well. Paul went down, all right? He saw the need, right? You know, there's a young man, he fell out of the window. Perhaps he ran down the stairs. Perhaps he jumped out of the roof by, you know, off the roof by faith to I don't know how he got down there, but he knew something had to happen, right? And he went down and he embraced Eutychus, is what it said. And he said, after embracing him, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." That's a picture of what God does in our lives. God descends from heaven, the highest, most holy place that there is, and descends to the earthly place, right? I'm sure Eutychus probably landed in the dirt or maybe on some brick or something that was made from the dirt, but he landed upon what God created, right? That this earthly soil. And Paul the apostle left that place where the word of God was being taught and the church was doing their things, and he went to the world. And he came to rescue, he came to seek and save that which was lost. I don't know what the final count was, but there was talk a little earlier that there were 99 people in the building this morning. And I think, well, where's that one? You know, somebody in here needs to go find that lost sheep and make sure that they come to church on Sunday. They need to go find that Eutychus who fell away, that they haven't been here in 3 months, and they need to bring them back to the house of God, not out of condemnation, but say, hey, we're going to be better with you here than we are without you here, all right? And so we all have to be thinking that kind of way, and you might be that. That might not be who you are today, but that might be who you are tomorrow. You may take notice this morning. Take one extra look to notice who's not here this morning. Don't rely upon your pastors just to see, okay, who's not here today so that we can call and check up on them. You be the one to reach out to somebody. You know what that means? You've got some responsibility to start building relationships here, to start coming to things like Supper at the Well or other church fellowships that your pastors are very strategic to put these things together for the purpose of you coming together and building relationships, right? Don't just rush out of here to get to Wingstop. I don't even know if they're open on Sunday. If they are, I might go there. All right, it's been a long time, but that's where I grew up, is Wingstop. And But Paul, he saw the need and he went, he descended just like Jesus came, left his heavenly throne, descended to this earthly place, fell upon him and declared there's life within him. I want to look at that word embrace very quickly, and I'm almost finished here. Embrace, do you guys have that definition? Embrace, it means to take by enclosing all together, earnestly throw the arms about one, embrace, okay? So imagine one laying out here on the floor and me taking my arms and jumping on them and just wrapping my arms around them, enclosing all together, completely surrounding them, completely covering them, not exposing their weaknesses, not exposing their faults, but covering them and saying, hey, we're not here to say, hey, look at all this sin that this person used to be in and look what they delivered him from. It's not your story. It's their story. It's their testimony. You're to cover them, okay? There may be a time that you meet with them with a ministry leader and say, hey, we need to help this person. Let's walk with them through what they're walking through, right? But not exposing one another's weaknesses, but covering them completely. I think of Jesus when he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather you in underneath my wings like a hen does its chicks. Embrace here means to enclose all together. God's graceful, merciful hand was wrapping around the one who was dead, okay? Now, that's been me before. I've been dead in my sin before. 15 years ago, I remember sitting in churches in Fort Payne, the Rainesville area, living in complete and blatant sin. And thinking, there's no way I'll ever lift a hand in church. There's no way I'll ever utter a word that's on the screens whenever the church is singing. I'll never be able to do that. I'll never be worthy of God. I'll never be able to even speak the name of Jesus. I was in that kind of bondage. I couldn't even utter the name of Jesus at that time in my life, just the darkness I was living in. But God reached to that dark place. He reached in where I was dead, and he pulled me out. He said, his life is still in him. Your life is still in you if you've fallen away. You may have put on your makeup and your church face this morning. You may be dead on the inside, but I am here to declare to you, your life is still in you. Their life is still in them. If there's still breath in their lungs, there is still life in them. Go out and get them. All right, go get them this week. Bring them to church next week. Bring them back to the King. Don't wait till Sunday. You go do the work of ministry. Amen. We all have responsibility here, folks, all right? I didn't come to tickle your ears. I came to say, hey, let's put our boots on together and let's go reach some people. In closing, I would like to make one note to those of you who are alive. Raise your hand if you're alive this morning. All right, there's a lot of you that are alive. Colossians 1, 28, 29. I believe this is a perfect picture of what this ought to look like. Colossians 1, 28, 29. It says, him we preach, meaning Jesus, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Remember, it's the work of God. It's not you doing all the work. It's God working in you, all right? So even if you do a really good job, he still gets the glory. It's still his work. It's still his church. It's still him reaching out to people. It's still his testimony, right? Yes, you may have gotten out of debt and went through the process, but he's still the one that provided for you, right? You may be the one that has gone 4 years without lifting the bottle or injecting the needle or popping the pill or saying that word or looking at that website, whatever it may be, but he's the one that's given you the strength to not do that, right? It's still his story. It's still his. He's the one. But ultimately, we want to be the ones doing the works of God, right? Not to take his place, but to do that Emmanuel kind of stuff, God with us, right? It says to warn them, to teach them, and to present them perfect in Christ Jesus. And to you who are alive this morning, I say in closing, go to the one who is weak, take them by the hand, and guide them. Warn them of the darkness, teach them how to walk in the light, how to stay awake, and how to be the light in the darkness, that we, say we, may present them perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, though the disciples didn't keep him from falling, it was still the disciples who were the ones who brought him back up. Maybe you failed. Maybe you didn't reach that Eutychus before they fell out of the window. Don't live in condemnation any longer. You're dead if you're living in condemnation. You are not able to live to the fullest of what God's called you to live in his church and in his body. You're forgiven. Now go do something about it. All right? They're the ones that came and brought him up and said, Eutychus, we let you fall, but we're going to grab a hold of you right now, and we're going to walk with you to get back to that higher place, all right? And you know what, Eutychus? You're sitting on the front row with us from now on, because if you fall asleep, at least you fall asleep and you hit the altar, all right? I've fallen asleep at the altar of God, and it's the best sleep I've ever gotten in my life, all right? All right. We don't want them to fall backwards. We want them to fall forwards. Amen. All right, we get to be the ones to help bring them back. Their life is still in them. And so, in closing, why don't you stand with me? We're going to recognize that God's message, it's for now, but it's for this week as well. Thank you guys so much for allowing me to be here, for your attentiveness. You're great-looking people, you know that? If I didn't have the chance to meet you before service, I would love the chance to do so. I understand you may have commitments you need to get to, but I'm going to be right in here. Would love the chance to shake your hand. Hug your neck if you'd like that and be able to greet you this morning. Let's close our eyes this morning. I want us to think and imagine who we are today. You may be a Eutychus that's either at that point that you are new to the church and you're young. Maybe you're sitting in that place between light and darkness. You look one way on a Sunday, but you look a whole other way on a Friday night. Maybe you're a Eutychus who's already fallen. I declare there's hope, there's still life left in you. You may be a disciple that's engaged, that's doing the works. Whether you've let somebody fall away, or maybe you are ready to take that next step and to take somebody by the arm before they fall. I declare that God's going to give you the grace to be able to do so. And maybe you are like a Paul. Maybe you're a first responder in the kingdom. Maybe you're one who steps in and is currently the type of person that reaches into these dark places and engages with people and closes around them, embraces them. May the God of peace be with you, give you discernment on how to minister, and may he receive the glory for your ministry. It's not your ministry, it's his ministry. Lord, I ask that you would meet us where we are today. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to lead us to where we need to be tomorrow. God, I think about people like Peter, who in Matthew chapter 14, that he asked Jesus to be invited to come out onto the water to that place of faith. And it said that he began sinking, just like Eutychus began sinking. Lord, we may be ones that are active in the church, yet sinking. God, I ask that as we've invited you, what we're doing is we're saying we're going in faith. And if we begin to fall, Lord, if we begin to sink, don't let us sink all the way. Won't you catch us? I thank you, Lord, that your hand, that your arm is not too short, Lord. It's able to reach and to grab us, Lord. I thank you for those that are going to be taking moves of faith this week, Lord. I ask if it doesn't go like they plan, Lord, that you would reach in and grab them. Don't let them sink too far, Lord. Let them know that you're still God. Let them know that you are still worthy, O Lord. Lord, I ask that they be able to celebrate. They got to walk on the water for a little while. And God, I thank you that you're going to give them holy boldness to speak when they need to speak and to be silent when they need to be silent. Just let you speak. God, I ask that you would bless your people, Lord. Lord, that you cause your holy and wonderful face to shine upon them. You be gracious unto them. Lift up your countenance upon them, Lord. Give them peace. Not as the world gives, but give them a heavenly peace. Lord, I pray that their sleep will be sweet at night. Lord, I ask if there's any that don't know you, that they would give them their lives to you. And if that's you this morning, you'd like to pray a prayer of repentance to the Lord, I'm going to lead you this morning. You pray it just like I prayed as an 11-year-old boy in my bunk bed that one night. You can pray it, but you need to tell somebody about it. You need to get somebody in your life that you can walk with, that they can lead you in the Word of God, that they can minister to you and help you so you don't fall away so easily. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love and your grace that has reached to me this morning. I give my life to you. I forsake the past, and I embrace your presence. Thank you for forgiving this sinner And thank you for the new life I get to live in you. I give you my life fresh and anew today. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer of repentance and you'd like to talk to some of the leadership team, do so. I know there's some of them on the front row here. Raise your hand if you're a leader here in the church and they can talk with you after service. And if you haven't been baptized, talk to them about that. And thank you so much again for being here. Thank you for having me once again. And may the Lord bless you as you go today. God bless you. I love you. And have a great year in Jesus' name. Amen.